Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Murray Bodden is an Australian involved in the construction industry. He's been involved for more than 57 years. He started when he was 15 years old as an apprentice carpenter and joiner, working up through the ranks to superintendent, to project management, and eventually into executive leadership positions, including president and CEO of Fletcher Pacific and the chairmanship of Howard S. Wright, a large West Coast construction company. All the while, his relationship with Jesus Christ has provided a solid foundation in his family and career. Dear friend, that's why we pause even at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the good life is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to experience what it means to have a solid foundation in your life, in your family, in your career. Yes, Christ, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ who has touched the heart and grabbed hold of the life of Murray Bodden with his amazing love, he's calling you today. So, dear one, would you open your heart to Christ? That's our hope. That's our prayer. Murray Bodden's passion is people, the development of all people to their full potential. He's married to Beverly, been married for 50 wonderful years. They've got 3 grown children, 5 grandchildren. They're members of Kamaki Christian Church. Murray, welcome to our show.
Welcome. Thank you.
I mentioned Australia. Where in Australia did you grow up?
I was born in a state called South Australia, and the city was Adelaide. And I was born in a beach resort, actually, a beachfront suburb of Adelaide as a young fella. And I lived there for, right up through the time we were first married. And then in our early married years, we started to move around Australia.
When people think of Australia, maybe they think of a koala, maybe they think of a kangaroo. You growing up there, what was it like?
Well, it's just like any suburban location in a city. Adelaide was a city of a million people, and so we grew up in a, as I said, a beach location, and we grew up in a suburban life. We had to go into the country to look for kangaroos or koalas. They didn't walk along the streets. We would go surfing and swimming, and I played football and cricket and just did normal things that kids in other suburban lives do.
I could see that. You were probably a bruiser.
Yeah, I was. I had a nickname called the Tank in my football days.
I believe that. I believe that. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I really think, many people say this too, but it's so true to me. Clearly is my parents. Mm-hmm. I had working class parents. My father was in the construction industry. My mother was what we'd call today a stay-at-home mum. I was one of 4 boys, so she had 4 boys around her. She was surrounded by lots of boy talk and rough games and dirty clothes. But they were Christians and believers, and as far back as I can ever remember, I would be taken to church. I was involved in Sunday school, and I grew up in different clubs. An organization in Australia called the Christian Endeavor had a big influence on my early life as a maybe 10, 11, 12-year-old. And then into boys' clubs. My dad was a leader there. So clearly my parents and my parents' influence was really the strongest to me. They took me to church, but they lived, as I've seen as I've got older, they lived out the Christian life in a fairly ordinary way. Maybe my dad's influence was strong in that he was a Christian, fairly quiet, but a solid Christian in the way he lived, and he lived in the construction industry, and I finished up in the construction industry myself.
You grew up in a Christian home. Was there a time, Murray, where you felt or sensed that you now stepped over an invisible line, as it were, to, you know, really having this relationship with Christ? Did that occur?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I grew up in a church that believed in adult baptism. So Sunday evening services, as I got into my teen years, were really the service of evangelism and the service of call. It was a fairly traditional thing to do. And the first thing is, as we move into teenage years, we would go to those church services because it was a lot of children. We had a youth group of, I think if I remember, about 90 young people. And so it was a great time. It was a time where the boys met the girls met the boys. We would go to church. We'd take it fairly seriously, but we were probably more interested in the coffee shop afterwards. Mm-hmm. But always that evening service, there would be a call. And that call would come, and you'd think about it, and you'd think about maybe I should go forward, and then you'd just let the time pass. Well, I was probably around about 16, maybe 16 years of age, maybe early 17, that a pastor called Colin Curtis was the pastor at the time. And I remember clearly that he preached that night on being broken, and that we're all to some extent either broken or cracked, and we just need to be put together to get on with the rest of our life. And they used as the call to come forward that night that old hymn called "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." You are the shepherd, you are the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I've got to go forward. No, I don't go forward. No, I've got to go forward. And there were a lot of young people there, a lot of your friends. And anyway, that was the night I went forward. And I committed my life to Christ in front of that public gathering, was baptized the next week, took communion for the first time, the whole process of that church. And now looking on 50 or 60 years, I mean, that was a big step for me, because that wasn't my parents' belief coming through in me. That was maybe my parents' influence, but that was Christ talking to me and then my response to him. And that was very personal to me. So I made that commitment for myself. It wasn't my parents' commitment on my behalf. It wasn't a pastor on my behalf. It was a pastor calling me that I want to make a personal commitment to Christ. So I think that around 16 and 17 years of age, going forward, committing my life to Christ publicly, being baptized, was a big turning point. Interesting time for me, because I was starting to play a better level of football and moving up in the football club. And so most of my friends outside the church were all in the football club and lived a completely different lifestyle. And yet here I was making this commitment to Christ in this stage, in a way moving away in my commitment area from many of my football friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you say football, are you speaking of American football or?
No, I mean real football. You know, the football that you don't kick and catch and throw it, you actually catch it and kick it, and we don't play with pads,
Who needs pads?
The real stuff.
Who needs helmets, right? The real stuff. But a clear moment, you began to see a distinction. Choices that you were making, choices that your contemporaries.
Yes.
Athletes. And yes. Those are critical times, because you get a lot of praise, applause. Sometimes people almost worship the athletes, you know, and what went on in your heart as those changes were taking place?
I think what went on in my life was that it's the best decision I ever made, even as a young person.
Even that young.
And you know, an interesting thing, my parents didn't drink, so I wasn't influenced to drink. So as I was getting 17 and 18, in the football club, there's always a lot of drink and a lot of playing around sort of things. This helped me to stay the path that my parents had showed me, but I made a commitment to. And yet I never lost any friends. There are many young people that I think even today still think that if you stand up for some of the Christian principles of behaviors, of activities, that all of a sudden you're going to be completely outcast and you're going to lose all your friends. My experience in life is that that hasn't been the case. From that time on, as a 17-year-old, I didn't lose my friends in football. I didn't lose my position in the football team. In fact, I got voted in the junior leagues to be the captain of the team. And so it didn't go the direction that many people think it goes. So I grew up in a family, a construction industry, which is tough and rough, and a football club, which is tough and rough. And yet God's helped me live in those days as a young person. Oh, sure, I wasn't perfect, but helped me live to those principles in that football club, in the construction industry, and still be accepted in the industry and the world that I wanted to play sport in and work in.
You mentioned young and growing up, 15 years old, a lot of things going on, your football and construction. You started so early. How did you get involved so early in construction?
I was probably no good at school, and construction's all I could do. No, I think, look, I grew up in this construction family. In Australia, particularly in those days, if you weren't going to go on into the fields of sciences or maybe law, medical, those areas, you were really encouraged to start to take on a trade or some vocational work. And you couldn't leave school until you were 15. But I was always a person working with my hands, wanting to do things. So I looked to do an apprenticeship, and I was encouraged by my parents to do an apprenticeship so that I actually learnt to do the trade by going to school and then being mentored in a formal 5-year apprenticeship. So at 15, I left school, but I really kept going to school until I was into my 20s.
I want to come back to that and maybe delve a little bit deeper into what you experienced, maybe some of the lessons that you learned or some things that you might extract from that point to maybe some themes that you carried along throughout your life that could be passed on even today. You're listening to Murray Bodden. Murray is sharing his story. At 15 years old, getting involved in construction, which really was the genesis of a career in executive leadership. Influence, impact, and also structures that exist today that when you see them, you stand in awe. God takes a real football player and turns him into not only a fabulous executive leader, but a faithful man of God whose testimony spans the test of time and spiritually influences others for the cause of Christ. Murray Bodden. Yes, more from him when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
How does God take a 15-year-old boy who leaves school early, yes, at that time, and how does God take a person like that, and years later, that same person is the president of a $500 million company, or becomes a chairman of an $800 million company? It's the story of Murray Bodden. He's here in studio with us. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thank you. Thank you for taking this time in your schedule to be with us today. I believe God is going to bless you, encourage you, inspire you. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program and others and other resources. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Murray, going back, how does God take someone 15 years old, leave school, and take him and create and develop in him executive leadership powers, as it were, to the level that you have experienced?
I think you can only see how God works. At least I can only see how God works in my life by looking backwards at it. Mm. I think he gives, as I look back, it probably was a God-given confidence. It wasn't my own. It was God's confidence to just say yes to opportunities that came up. One was that, you know, I wanted to continue to improve, but I never had strong ambitions to be where I finished up being. I was always one step at a time sort of person. And each step I went along that line, my family moved with me and God moved with me. So I never felt alone. I never felt any opportunity or new challenge that came up was something that was really so overpowering that I'd made a bad mistake. So as I look back at that, God was the one that gave us this inner confidence. And I think I was blessed in having a wife and a family that, as I moved into new jobs and then new locations, including traveling overseas to Malaysia, doing work in the Middle East, and then finishing up in Hawaii, my family moved with me. They were happy to move. So God gave me a great family that stuck with it. God gave me this sort of inner confidence that he was with me. And then everywhere, each place I stepped into, it seemed that I got surrounded by either a church or Christian brothers or sisters, so I never felt completely alone and tested in that great to any great extent.
Grounding. You were grounded. Grounded spiritually wherever you went. You saw brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
In every nation.
Yep.
That you would go to.
Yep.
How did you grow? As you look back at the landscape of your reflection, in what ways did you grow?
Well, I think I grew matured as a person fairly early on. I'm leaving school at 15 and then going into the construction industry to work, and I was playing some reasonably good level football as a young fellow. I think that you grow up fairly quickly, and then I was given, as a 20-year-old, responsibility to actually manage a project. And I took that seriously. And so all of a sudden I used the teamwork. I think what was happening was I was using the teamwork logics and learning that I'd developed playing sport into building teams at work. And that had helped give me the confidence to do well at work. And then I built teams and built relationships with people, and therefore some of the projects were successful. So in that practical way, I was growing, building off of really, I think, what I learned playing sport, the power of a team, the power of pulling people together or working together in a team. As a Christian, I think I learned, I grew again by what I said earlier, by just learning that really God didn't leave me stranded alone, and I didn't lose my friends because I had made a commitment to Christ. And I lived a slightly different life to some of my good friends from the football days or the construction industry. I didn't drink like they did. I didn't play around as much as they did. But I was, you know, I was a typical young guy with lots of energy. But I would go to church on Sundays. I would be part of youth groups and help out where I could. And then as I grew, we started to see opportunities to serve and do things and use my building skills. And that's another step of growing and seeing how God's faithful in using the very gifts and skills that you developed as a young person.
We see truth in the adage, as you've mentioned, a champion, quote, a champion team will always do better than a team of champions. Murray Bottom, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means that standing alone, we think that we can do everything alone, but we all know we do a lot better with other people around us. Even the most powerful of people, sooner or later in their life, realize that they didn't do it all themselves. Now, as a Christian, you realize you're not doing anything yourself. So if you've sort of put the Christian principle of team together with what you learn through life, that people working together achieve a lot more, that you don't have all the skills and gifts, you put those two together, the Christian principles of working together, Christ being with you on the way through, using the gifts that God's given you, but then multiplying that by using other people's gifts, you see how much more value you get, how much more achievement you can achieve in any walk of life if you can work together. So I became a team player, but I also then, as my years went by, really saw the power of being a team builder.
Building teams. In the process of building teams through your career, were there any mentors that sort of took you under their wing, or you sought out and they gave you some guidelines or guidance along the way?
Football coaches or sports coaches, pastors, in the early days, youth workers that related to you as a person. And then as I got older, just older people that I could look up to in their life. In fact, one of my strongest mentors in my work life is not at least a professing believer in Christ, but he's a good person, lives good values and good lives and a good life. But he became a mentor to me, and he became a mentor to me because he showed interest in me personally. And as he got older and I got older, he didn't lose interest in me. And even today, he lives in New Zealand and he's probably 85, 86 years of age, and we still connect and wants to show interest. So I think, again, those mentors taught me the respect that we should have for each other, the respect for each other, and what genuine, authentic interest in people, how powerful it is to be genuinely respected or respect someone in a genuine way or show genuine interest in somebody. It's not something, in leadership, many people grab hold of this, do something for people. I've used this adage before that if we put people ahead of profit will take care of itself. Well, you've got to really believe that people are that important to put energy into people. And I've had mentors in work and at church who have lived that out, that the people, the respect for the individual is important.
You become a beneficiary of someone's mentoring you. Have you done that in the lives of others?
Well, I would hope that that I do it just by being who I am, leading a company the way I lead the company, not going out on a limb to be really special, but living to the values that I believe are important. I think that's mentoring in a company. You see, I hear today lots of people say, they talk about mentoring, they write about mentoring, and then they say, then I've had young people come to me and say, will you be my mentor? And I say, yes, I will, but I haven't got a program for mentoring you. I've got a life that you can watch.
Not a mentoring formula.
Yeah, I think this formula thing doesn't work as well. I think if we live our life to the principles that we believe important and encourage other people to come alongside of us, young people to come alongside of us, and then they pick up what are the good pieces of what they see in us, then I think that's mentoring. I think my hope would be that many people were mentored in one way or for good in one way or another just by the fact that they saw the way I did things and then they wanted to do it that way and improve upon it.
What is one of the key elements that have been part of a common thread in team building for you?
Oh, others. The word others, if you really think about it. Leadership, maybe teamwork is the essence of leadership, and the central point of leadership is other people. We talk about it in the business world and in the church world, servant leadership. It's sort of become a new thing in the last 20, 25 years. People have written lots of books about it. Peter Drucker brought it forward, and John Maxwell writes a lot about it, and our own Kent Keith ran a whole institute on servant leadership. But when you think about servant leadership, it really goes back to biblical times. I mean, it's a biblical principle. People in the secular world don't always realize that it's really come out of the Bible. Jesus was the one that talked about being the servant first and talked about servant leadership. Jesus was the one that took this motley crew of disciples who came with a whole potpourri of different skills and idiosyncrasies and even problems and molded them into a team that went out and changed the world. So I think teamwork is about having a focus on other people. Leadership is about having a focus on other people. Leadership is about achieving results through other people. But as you do that and recognize that other people are all different, then as a leader, you mold those in to a team so that you look at the varying skills and gifts of other people. And then if you can mold those together, that thread is molding the gifts of others into one common direction.
What eloquence. What eloquence you have, Murray, in putting it together. And I think part of it comes just because it's coming out of you. It's something that you've lived, you've ruminated on it yourself, you've jostled around. And just my perspective on, as I'm hearing you, seeing the lives of people transform into stronger teams, stronger leaders themselves.
And stronger people.
Stronger people.
See, they all become stronger people. So a team can actually make the individual so much stronger. And maybe that's what's happened in my life. You could look at a resume and say I've achieved a lot by this building or that building that I've been involved in around the world. But all I've done was I've been a member of a team, and my role in the team was to mold it together.
That's Murray Bodden. And we'll be back with more from him. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
There is an old adage that Murray Bodden has on his, there in his office. It really speaks of a message that can transform a company, and the results come as a result of that. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Murray Bodden in studio with me today. Thank you for joining us. Hey, look, if you want to listen to this program, you can get it as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Of course, that and other resources that we have available there. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Murray, what is that adage? What is that adage?
Well, I've been putting on the wall for a long time that if you put people ahead of profit, profit will take care of itself. And it's really been something that I've tried to encourage the people in the companies that I've had an influence over to get behind and really live for. Because
have you seen that really work?
Well, I think it's just turned the company I've been involved in around. When we've had people focus on the right thing, the first thing first is really not just talk about people being important, but live out that people are important. Respect our people. Think about what a leader's job is. A leader's job is to achieve results through the efforts of other people. Hmm. So the whole focus of leadership should be on other people. And if we're constantly looking at how to make money, how to extract the next dollar, how to maximize that return, I think we're focusing on the result, but we're not focusing on the action that can give us that result. So I've been a believer that we put the effort into our people. We treat them with respect. We give them the tools to do their job. We say thank you. We show them that they are legitimately important, and all of a sudden they start working as better people. And I've said before that if we finish up with better people, then we're going to finish up with better results. So put people ahead of profit, and profit will take care of itself.
You've traveled the world with your family to lead your companies. Take us on a little bit of a world tour. Malaysia, Middle East. Take us there. When you went to Malaysia, what do you remember most?
Well, we moved from around Australia. A typical construction guy, moving from spot to spot in Australia. So we moved from Adelaide down south to Darwin up north to Melbourne, which most people would remember Melbourne as a big city. From Melbourne, I joined this Fletcher organization and went to Malaysia. And so Malaysia was just a wonderful experience, probably still the highlight experience of our life. We had two children at that stage. They were both young teenagers in the early years of high school, so it was a little bit hairy as to whether this would really work for us. The kids were terrific. My wife was terrific. It just was a gem. We went into Malaysia, and the reason it was probably the highlight of our life was that we went into a multicultural society. We went into a society in Malaysia that had a predominance of Chinese ethnic people, but it also had a percentage, maybe 10, 12, 15% Bumiputra Malays, Malay people, with their belief, and most of those were Muslim people. And then there was about a 10% portion of the population that was Indian. And so we got to see Indian culture and some of the Hindu festivals. And then small sprinkling of maybe 8% of their population made up of Christian people from these different groups, but maybe only 2% Caucasian. So we lived in this multicultural environment. And it was a wonderful experience. We went in there, we had the challenge of working in a joint venture with, I worked in two different joint ventures there. One was, we were the leaders of a Chinese joint venture, and then we were leaders of a Malay Bumiputra joint venture. So a great challenge in working in the ethnic differences of doing business with those people. We found ourselves a church, a Christian church right in the middle of Malaysia, St. Andrew's International Church. And so we lived this whole potpourri, multicultural, mm-hmm. Work challenging, different work ethics. So it was a wonderful time. And of course, one of our blessings there was that a surprise packet came along when our third child, our children were teenagers, and all of a sudden a third child was on the way. And so we had our youngest born in Malaysia. So it was a wonderful time for us.
From Malaysia, where did God lead you after that?
Malaysia, I got asked by the company I was with in Malaysia, the Fletcher Group, a New Zealand company, who had just was right on the brink of purchasing a company here in Hawaii called Pacific Construction that had was on the market, had got in a little bit of tough times. And so they said, we're going to buy that company. Would you go there? It's another multicultural environment, not so much America as it is really Asia and the Pacific, and go for 2 years. So we said, sight unseen, we would go. So the family all said, fine, and the kids packed up.
Sight unseen, no. Preview visit.
Hadn't been to America before in our life, and so seemed like a good thing to do. And so we came, and it's just worked out. And that was 1986, and we've lived here ever since, even though while I was living here, I had an opportunity to work for 3 years in the Middle East, going backwards and forwards from Hawaii. And for two of those years, I worked on projects in Japan, but always when we worked in the Middle East and worked in Japan, we were clearly established here, and I would travel and spend a week or 2 weeks there, come back home, and I was running the company here. So got, again, a lot of that fun experience of my working life has been to work in partnerships and relationships with people from different ethnic backgrounds, and those ethnic backgrounds have entirely different, nearly moral bases that are different. And
You're a lifelong learner. Right? An apprentice for life, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, what lessons have you extracted in the Middle East, in Japan, in these multicultural, multi-ethnic, but you even mentioned multi-ethic.
Yeah. Well, let me give you just one or two quick examples. It wasn't a full-time work, but we did some voluntary mission work in Bali, helping rebuild a dam. And the Balinese people, the Christian Protestant Church of Bali, was helping in an area called Blimbing Sari. And so we're going to build a dam, and then we're going to run a water pipe from the dam to the village of Blimbing Sari, about 3 kilometres. And so people give 1 day a week to carry things, buckets of water and buckets of clay on their heads. And so they finish up getting the dam built and getting the pipe just about ready to start rebuilding their church that had been, and their school that had been demolished in an earthquake. And all of a sudden they stop and they say, before we finish the work to get the water to our village to build the very thing we're all working towards, we're going to take a side pipe and we're going to run it to the Hindu village first. And I thought, boy, isn't this something? Here's the people that have worked for 2 years to get water to their village so they could rebuild their church and school. And just when you think they're getting close to doing it, they decide that they're going to take the water first to a Hindu village on the way. And I just thought, isn't it interesting how selfish we become? And yet here we are in the mountains of a really primitive part of Bali, Indonesia. And I'm learning a lesson that these people say, before we take something for ourselves, we're going to give it to these people. Now, remember, this was a Christian community rebuilding a Christian church. And they said, we're not going to give it to another Christian school. We're going to give this to a Hindu village before we take it ourselves. So I learned something about selfishness or lack of selfishness there. Just in the Middle East, simple things. Our workforce came from Pakistan and Bangladesh, a few Indian, and they were living in just small cubicles, 8 foot by 8 foot, 2 beds to a room. The local people would be providing, you know, 300 or 400 of these people with just a little bit of food each day to take to a job site. In the Middle East, in Dubai, it's 110, 120, 130 degrees they're working. So their lunches come, and it's just a little bit of what I used to call slurry, a little bit of juice on top of rice and maybe a few little beans and vegetable in it. And so I suggested to the board that maybe we should put a chicken leg and a chicken wing in each meal for these workers. And the local people would say, oh, no need to do that. They are lucky to have a job. Now, these are people working for just a couple of dollars a day, thereabouts. And I said, no, we should do that. Well, they calculated how much that was going to cost over 3 years of the project and didn't want to do it. I finally prevailed and convinced them that this was the right thing to do and that we would get dividends from doing the right thing. You know, you could see the difference in 3 months after we gave more food to the people than everybody else or the opposition were doing on their projects. We didn't have any turnover of our labour force. We didn't have any rumblings or grumblings on our job site. We had people come and work. It just lifted the morale. And I just look at that and say, for the cost of a chicken leg, we lifted the whole morale and productivity of our workforce. And this is low quality workforce. But once your people start to produce 5% better, all of a sudden you can make your schedules, you can make your money. So I learned these little principles, I guess. I've seen them, 10, 20 different stories of my life.
That will be the chapter in your book, the chicken leg and the chicken wing that changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Murray Bodden sharing more than chicken legs and chicken wings with us today. We're getting a whole feast of wisdom of leadership tested by experience and results. Thank you for being with us today, but also thank you, Murray, for sharing as you have. When we come back, how has God helped Murray Bodden through difficult times in life? Have you experienced some challenging moments? Experienced some bumps along the road of life? Murray will share with us what God has done through his life. Stay with us now, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He's been in the construction industry for 57 years, from apprentice to the top levels of executive leadership, Murray Bodden. When you talk about construction, you cannot go on very long without wondering about foundations. And when we talk about foundations, there's, yes, those foundations that are necessary to build something. There are also other kinds of foundations that might be equal to, or perhaps even more important, perhaps spiritual foundations. Murray Bodden is here. We're talking about a blending of the spiritual life, the life with Christ, and career and leadership, growing companies, improving companies. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm blessed that you're with us, and I'm hoping and believing that this is indeed a blessing to you. Murray, we talked about foundations. How has Christ helped you through difficult times?
Well, I really, quite frankly, I'm just an ordinary bloke. When you think about it, that's a real Australian expression, but ordinary person.
Bloke. When you say bloke, I've heard that before, but no one's ever explained what a bloke is or what it means.
Just a true blue, down-to-earth person that, you know, that is just ordinary.
Okay.
So I'm one of those people, but I think that that's been interesting in my experience, that God has been there with me in the ordinariness of my life, if you like. I mean, here I am, a young guy, leave school at 15, work, it was nothing special. I went out and I worked hard, I played a bit of sport, I got married, raised a family, took opportunities that came up, kept working in the construction industry. But as and bit by bit, took on more senior responsibility and seemed to get, by world standards, some blessings or rewards or successes. But as I look back on that, God had been part of every part of that journey. He'd given me, I think, looking backwards, the confidence to step forward, part of that blessing had been my family's been prepared to move with me and be with me. We've always found that a church has been a part of that foundation. So wherever we have moved, we've fitted in very closely and been mentored, supported, encouraged by a Christian-based community, a church and a group of friends. So God's sort of been there without it being any great big miraculous story. I haven't made millions of dollars, lost them, and then God's helped me out. I haven't gone through lots of relationship problems and God's worked me out. I've just been an ordinary person, but in that ordinary walk of my life, it's really, as I look back, the foundation and the strength that has come into my life has really been through God, and then the blessings have come as we've gone along.
What would you say to someone who may be an ordinary bloke, but they might feel that in their ordinariness, they're being pounded right now in a circumstance that's out of control? They don't know what to do. Murray, what would you say?
There's only one constant, I think, to turn to in my experience, and that is to turn to God. God's a constant. God's like the rock that you build the building on. It isn't going to move. See, the interesting thing, Danny, about construction is that the real foundation of a construction project isn't that big concrete. Mm. If you take First Hawaiian Bank, it's not that great big 1,000 cubic yards of concrete that they put in the ground and build the building on. It's actually the piles underneath it. No, it's not. It's more than the piles. It's the rock that those piles are sitting on. So if you even look at a building project, it isn't the concrete foundation, it's the rock. And why is it the rock? Because that isn't going to move. And so for me, it's sort of like, where do you go if life's turning upside down? Do you turn to pleasure? Do you turn to hiding, running away from it? Do you turn to some guru that's written a book to get life back together? No, I think those things are all movable. So for me, we have to move back to a spiritual base to see who made us, who created us, who says that they will sustain us, and who's going to take us home at the end. And really, if we come back to that base and hang on to build off of that, we actually got something solid. People will let us down, or can let us down. Governments can let us down. Financial structures and systems can let us down. Relationships that we feel close to at times can let us down. But even in death, if we lose our most important partner, we've never lost God. So I've learned over time that, boy, when the going gets tough, the real person to turn to, the real rock to turn to, is back to God. And if you turn back to God, you want to know God, you got to get to know Jesus. Because Jesus is understandable. You know, we understand Jesus. He came to earth. He lived like us. He was tempted like us. He did things like us. He told stories like us. We've got records of those stories. So Jesus is like us, but yet the Bible is telling us very strongly that Jesus and God are one. So want to know God, get to know Jesus. So we can know who this God, this rock is. So that's been a foundation of my life. And I've had a good life, but I've had some ups and downs. The last 12 months I've had some fairly major health issues, and it brought me back to God, the foundation. When we were young guys living in Darwin, my wife and I and our two children, a hurricane went through Australia, the largest, it was called a cyclone, but it went through Darwin, and we lost our house and our car and all our possessions, but we were blessed to be alive, and we started again. We didn't have our house insured, so we'd lost everything, but we had God, and we had the support of other Christian friends, and all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years on, we're back in another house with another job, and God didn't let us down.
Murray, we've got a couple minutes. You say a prayer for someone right now who is saying, look, I want to get down beneath the cement to the rock.
Okay, Father God, we just really ask that if there is someone out there that's just struggling and hanging loose and not knowing what to hang on to and what to build their life on, or whether it's even possible to rebuild their life, I would say to those people, for them to just pray to you at the moment. You will hear them. They may have rejected you in the past, but Lord God, we know that you have not let them go. Tell them to trust you. Teach them to trust you. And to that dear friend, I would say, my friend, trust God. Give him a go. Give him a chance. He's not going to let you down. You need to build your life back and hang on to something that isn't going to move. And God, you are the one that will do that. So may we all be people that get sincere, not just in our belief, but in our trust, and then put that into action. And we pray this in the powerful and confidence of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Murray, you've touched my heart. You stirred me up inside. I believe that you've done that even with our dear listener. And thank you for praying. Because yes, we experienced those moments. Someone today needed to hear someone pray for them. And as you pray, I believe God has heard you, and God is going to move, already moving, in the life of that dear person. Thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your heart as you have.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Great.
Dear one, I hope that you were moved by the sharing, by the eloquence, by the outflow of Murray Bodden. You know, there's no better time than right now. Even as Murray took the time, even in his prayer, he was directing you, leading you to the Lord, entreating the Lord to draw you close, pull you in, because we need to stand on the rock of Christ. Well, if you have not done so, I think this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there with some graphics, some illustrations of what it means to put your trust in Jesus. And if you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Murray Bodden. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.